رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله.
Difference between Islam and Iman.
Sayyid Sultan al-Wa'idh in Shirazi, Islam without Iman, faith or conviction, has no meaning, just as Iman without Islam has no merit. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "And do not say to anyone who offers you peace, you are not a believer." Chapter 4, verse 94. This verse proves that we must treat one according to one's outward semblance. If anyone says, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah," we should accept his iman. This in itself is the best proof that Islam and iman are identical terms.
Obviously, Islam and iman are different, but we are not required to probe the hearts of others. Last night, I said that the sign of a believer is his deeds, but we have no right to make inquiries about the actions of Muslims. We are compelled, however, to indicate the characteristics of iman so that those who are immersed in sleep may be inspired to perform their duties. Thus, they will be aware of the reality of iman and will know that salvation in the hereafter will come only through performing good deeds. As the hadith says, iman means acceptance with the tongue, conviction in the heart, and performance with our limbs. Acceptance with the tongue and conviction in the heart are the preface to action. Of course, we know that this nasty world is only a preface to the next world. The way of salvation for such a man is closed in the hereafter unless he becomes a man of good deeds here. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, "I swear by the declining time, surely man is in loss except those who believe and do good." In short, according to the Holy Quran, piety is the root of iman, and if one has no good deeds to his credit, his verbal acknowledgement or conviction at heart will still leave him far from iman. If it is true that we should consider anyone a Muslim who says, "There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah," why do you regard the Shias as infidels? Certainly, Shias believe in the unity of Allah, the prophethood of Muhammad, one Qibla, one book. They perform all obligatory acts, observe prescribed fasts, go on the pilgrimage, pay khums and zakat, religious taxes, believe in bodily resurrection and the day of reckoning. It has been clearly narrated in the hadith of Thaqalain, acknowledged by both of the sects, that if you are attached to the Ahlul Bayt, never, never shall you be misled. Even the fanatical Ibn Hajar Makki records his finding in his Sawa'iq al-Muhriqa, chapter 2, subchapter 1, page 92, in connection with the verse of the Holy Quran, "And stop them, for they shall be questioned." Chapter 37, verse 24. When we cannot change the Holy Quran and replace it with another book, the same principle must be followed regarding those who are the equals of the Holy Quran. So, according to which principle were those people who did not belong to the Prophet's progeny allowed to supersede his progeny? I want a simple answer to this question, so that we may know whether the three caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman, belonged to the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet and were included in the hadith we've mentioned, Thaqalain, Safina, Bab Hitta. If they are included, then we must follow them according to the orders of the Prophet.
No one believes that any of the caliphs except Ali was included in the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. Of course, the three caliphs mentioned were good companions of the Prophet.
Did the Prophet tell us to follow a particular individual or group? If one faction says that it is expedient to follow other people, should we obey the Prophet or follow expediency as determined by the community?
It is obvious that obedience to the Prophet is obligatory.
After the Prophet has instructed us to follow the Holy Quran and his progeny, why have others been preferred? Did Abul Hasan Ali ibn Ismail Ash'ari, Wasil ibn Atta, Malik ibn Anas, Abu Hanifa, Muhammad ibn Idris Shafi'i, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal belong to the progeny of the Prophet or the commander of the faithful, Ali, and his 11 descendants?
Obviously, no one ever said that these people belonged to the Prophet's progeny, but they were notable jurists and pious men of the community.
But according to the consensus of the community, the 12 Imams are the direct descendants of the Prophet. Your own ulama agree that they are the equals of the Holy Quran, and that obedience to them leads to salvation. Moreover, the Prophet said that they are the most learned of men. Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Fatima were known as Ahl Kisa, that is, the people of the mantle. They were the ones in whose praise the verse of purity was revealed. Is it proper to call those who follow Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and other Imams infidels? You have preferred those who did not belong to the progeny of the Prophet to those who were ideal jurists. What answer will you give in the Divine Court of Justice when you will be asked as to why you misguided the poor people, why you called the followers of the Ahl Bayt infidels and innovators? You fault us because we are not the followers of the creeds of Hanafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, or Shafis, and yet you don't follow Ali despite the clear and vivid injunctions from Allah and the Holy Prophet that you should do so. Without good reason, you follow one of the four schools of law and have closed the doors of jurisprudence.
Ya Sayyidi, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Ismat al-Afim wal-Jaw. Ya Sayyidi, Ya Sayyidi, عصمة الآثيم والجاء يا قاسم الجنة والنار يا سيدي يا قاسم الجنة والنار.